Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shaman Sister Sessions, episode 116. I'm Michelle Hawk, and I'm here with my dear shaman sister, Catherine Bird. And we are so excited to be back. If you've been tuning in with us for a while, we've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but we have some wonderful stories and anecdotes and advice, I guess, which is sort of why we're here to share with you. And today we're talking in particular about how to create shamanic and alchemical tools for transformation. Both Kat and I are very into crafting and art and creating sacred objects of different kinds. And so today we're here to talk with you a little bit about what that's like behind the scenes in terms of our own relationship to creating sacred tools and what inspired us around it and how you can take some of these practices and make your own sacred tools. Kat, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been so long since we've done this. I'm forgotten how do we do this again?
Right.
Okay. I'm pretty good. How about you, Michelle?
I'm good. Yeah, I've already today recorded an interview for a friend of mine on a psychic protection symposium. So that'll be coming out at some point, but I've already been talking on camera for a while today.
Okay, cool.
I'm warmed up and ready to go.
I can't believe they're having a whole symposium on psychic protection.
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot to talk about. It was sort of like anecdotal story stuff,
uh-huh.
Advice. But yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about dragons and alchemy, and it was really cool.
Awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So today we wanted to talk about something that we haven't talked about really at all. But when we are looking at something like healing work, shamanism, alchemy, it really lends itself beyond the mental, the theoretical. It's practical, it's real, it's embodied, it's in your body and in your life and in your everyday way of being and in the choices that you make of how you orchestrate your environment and the things that you create. And so it's definitely something that I'm really passionate about, is working with all kinds of layers of from the theoretical into the embodied, when we start to look at alchemical practices and all of these things that are layered on top of each other, and doing shamanic work and doing healing work, and then how that relates to creative projects, and how much I'm inspired by these concepts and ideas, and they really feed my creative fire a lot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you cued into one of the key areas, Kat, that we're going to be talking about is, you know, really what is the purpose of shamanic arts and crafts, right? For lack of a better term, right? But it's like translating the theoretical and the energetic frequencies into an embodied form. And it's funny, as we're sitting here, I'm just realizing everything that I'm wearing, right? Like we talk about, I think this has come up at least in, I don't know, one or two intros about, we need to do an episode on shamanic fashion, right? Because of just everything that we're wearing, being intentionally crafted, or I should say most of the things that we're wearing, being intentionally chosen or crafted to embody a certain frequency. And even though, in this case, like I didn't make my shirt, I didn't make some of the jewelry that I'm wearing, it is still in that same vein of how am I choosing and discerning the energies that I'm wanting to translate and helping me anchor them into my personal field and into the field that I'm communicating and expressing through physical objects, whether they're things that I've made or things that I've purchased from artists or other practitioners. And, you know, both Kat and I are pretty creative, and, you know, she's had, if you follow her on Instagram, maybe you've seen some of the beautiful things that she makes. And I'm crafty and creative, and I've got my own projects going on. So we wanted to share some of those with you today of how are we working with that in terms of anchoring in these frequencies, both in ourselves and then also sharing that with our clients. So Kat, how did you get into some of the you know, the, I mean, your work is so beautiful. You've got your knives, your selenite knives that you make, you know, that skull sitting behind you, if you're on video and you can see the skull over Kat's shoulder, she made that. And you've got the antlers and all sorts of things. And in addition to paintings and tincture, like you just have a lot going on, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I started painting a long time ago, and definitely before I had my awakening in my art was like, I had a lot of dark stuff in my psyche, and there was a lot of darkness in my art in certain ways, and then a lot of also appreciation of beauty and the form and just color and texture, and being in the experience of making something was really important to me. And when I started studying practical alchemy, then I started understanding about spagyrics and working more with plants and the plant realm, and incorporating shamanic journeying and connecting to the spirit realm with working with plants, and started doing a lot more with tinctures and cordials and teas and growing more plants and being more connected. I think one of the pieces is that all of this gives us it gives us the opportunity to be more connected to the natural world, you know, to plants and animals and to the spirit realm and to the unseen worlds. And we get to interact with it from our physical human experience and world, which makes it really exciting, I think, because we get to pray and connect and make these intentions towards something being very powerful as we're working with it, which is such an, I think, an interesting way to live. Like it's a very multidimensional way of engaging with the world on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And really focusing that power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so then over time, I really, as I focused more on my being a healer and my business needing a lot of attention and not having space, I wasn't making as much art and wasn't creating as much. But then having access to, I was given a lot of deer antlers, and that really woke something up for me, that when I started working with these antlers and making healing tools for my friends primarily, then that became something that I got to bring in my alchemical training and start to bring in the awareness that I had of the planets and the colors and the metals and the energies that are being worked with, and then utilize those to create something that was a power object and a alchemical totem for another person, so that they could be more of who they are and be supported by something that I created, which is such a beautiful opportunity for me. And I think as a healer, as a practitioner, as someone who's working really closely and deeply with someone, you know, working through stuff with them, and there's a lot of interaction and conversation and like going into their system and stuff like that. Like, this is a different form that I get to work with someone in a completely different way, where I don't necessarily need to be in, I don't know, I don't need to be in their process so much, right? I don't need to like get into their life as much as I might as a practitioner, but here I get to bring something that they get to explore with their, you know, their power and their life purpose through this object, which I think adds a little bit of levity to the depth of like doing this kind of work on a regular basis over the course of many years.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a, like you said, it's a different access point, right? So, you know, whenever we're working with art or we're working with beautiful objects or shape or form or color, you know, there's so much that goes into the creation of these objects that's working on the subconscious level that people are accessing from the subconscious level. So it's awakening all these things in them and activating these frequencies that they won't even necessarily ever consciously recognize, but we're working through symbolic representation to activate that subconscious part of the brain that we could never get to through any type of cognitive mentorship. Right. So in this case, you know, it's another tool to be able to support someone, say, if you're making it for a client where you're talking with them and you know, in your case, right, you're creating a tool for them specifically related to their planetary correspondence or their constitution. You're supporting the, you know, the felt sense relationship to their own sources of power to amplify and create a resonant field and frequency for them to increase and grow into that. Or maybe you're creating a totem with a particular intention in mind to help them grow in a certain area. And I think that's really beautiful because again, it's like, you know, art touches something in us and art and form, right? That it has its own wisdom and intelligence and memory. So it's holding codes, it's holding frequencies that can be strengthened and awakened over time and layers of it uncovered over time, especially as someone develops a relationship with it, whether it's a favorite piece of jewelry that they wear all the time, whether it's a tool that they use in their own personal practice or with clients, there are, it's almost like a time release transformation capsule for them to be encoded to those frequencies and to strengthen their relationship with those frequencies.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so beautiful and such an honor for me when recently I made a couple of pieces over the winter. I don't make a lot of things. I don't have enough time, but I had an old friend I've known for many years reached out for a knife and then also I made an antler for someone's husband and to get their like feedback after they've, you know, sat in ceremony with this piece or they've been meditating with this piece and what I send a report with a lot of information on the planets and their constitution and gives them all of this reflection and to see someone's reflection and someone's feedback is really beautiful. It really feels like a blessing to be able to do something in this way and bring something into form in this way. And I think that this conversation, I'm hoping that we can inspire you. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it all right. You know, it can be just so inspired by nature and so inspired by what brings you joy and but to make things for yourself that you feel really resonate and amplify you also, right? Because we're talking about making things for other people, but it's important to make things that you feel are amplifying you. And in so many traditions, you know, the sacred tools that you make that someone has, they have to be made by the person, you know, here in America, in, you know, all the sacred clothes and the tools that someone is wearing in ceremony, they're making them themselves. They're putting a lot of effort and energy into that. And sometimes, you know, killing a deer and actually going through that whole process of preparing the skin, which is a huge investment of time and energy and prayer to put that into something that you're going to have as your sacred object. And it's really important to remember that in this, you know, in this time of so much consumer culture that we have access to so many things and we, in some ways, we kind of lose the sacredness of even sacred objects sometimes. You know, they're just so everywhere in some kind of way, right? You can jump on Etsy and buy all kinds of things and they're beautiful and amazing. But we also get to do that for ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, in the Siberian shamanic tradition, the shaman would have to go into the forest and find a tree that had been hit by lightning in order to get the wood to make the drum. And that was part of the initiation that was happening as you were taking on your sacred role in your community, yeah. is that you were using these objects and these talismans and these things that you're making as representations of your own process of initiation and transformation.
Yeah. And then you get to have these tools with you as supportive anchors for your power as you continue to evolve on your journey, right? Mm-hmm. Like creating the totems that tell your story and also, you know, illuminate your service, really, right? Because like these initiations that we're going through are essentially informing our personal journey, but as practitioners, they're also informing, well, where is our power in terms of how we're showing up for our people? So yeah, I think, you know, there really is like, there's a lot that's lost in terms of just being able to buy whatever. And, you know, I went through my own thing of like being good at art, right? Like I'm putting air quotes in case you can't watch me on video, but like a lot of us have that, you know, a lot of us are, you know, either we didn't really have creative outlets growing up or, you know, or we weren't quote good at art, or we just didn't find our medium or whatever it is. And so I think there's this thing that we have to get over in terms of like the visual of how something looks or how we want it to look versus the power that it holds, no matter what it looks like. And I think that was something that I needed to embrace for myself in terms of a lot of the power tools that I have created look very simple, you know? So I have, it's sitting right next to me. I have my drum that I made years ago. I don't even remember when I did that. It was probably like, I don't know, 2010 or so. And I made it with a master drum maker, and I did not kill the elk myself. That wasn't an option for me to do, but it was sustainably harvested from a tribe. Who went out and did this. So there were some aspects that I wasn't participating in, but I was taking all the ingredients and putting them together in a very prayerful and intentional way. And it looks very, very simple. You know, there's some drums out there that are painted or have, you know, all these adornments and other things on there, but it sings and it is powerful and it is me and it is resonant. And same with my medicine bag and my medicine pouch that I made for myself. They look very simple, but that is the representation of how that was wanting to be born. And so I feel like, you know, and same with other crafts that I've made, like there is, you know, and I make other sorts of things, and Kat's wearing some earrings that I made for her that are anything but simple, right? They're very,
no, they're super fancy, because I was like, they need to be super fancy and long and lots of things on there.
And I went nuts and it was super fun and great, but it's, you know, this like releasing the attachment of what it looks like in service to the frequency that it's holding. And I think that, you know, a lot of us can kind of get caught up in that. So sort of permission to let the soul of your creation speak for itself. Yeah. I also, Kat, you were sharing a little bit about, were you just grabbing something to show?
Yeah, I was just grabbing something because you're talking about this. And so I've been for years now making these really complex antlers for people. So I'm using their constitutional planetary, you know, energies, and they've got multiple stones set in them. And, often things are quite complicated, you know, different kinds of colors and, you know, metals and things and all kinds of stuff. So, and then this winter, I realized that the antler that I actually have been using for years in healing sessions when I use it is a very tiny little antler that was completely plain. I'd never done anything with it. And so this winter I made the decision to go ahead and just paint it very simply and set in a crystal that into the base. So if you can't see it, it's just a very tiny little antler with just one fork with, you know, two little nubs on there and a crystal in the base of it that Michelle gave me years ago, at a retreat, I believe. And I've always loved this crystal and it was like the perfect fit for this little antler. And so, you know, as you're saying, it's like, this is the most simple one I've ever made. Once I started making them very complicated with stones and such. And, you know, that's the one that's for me. Mm-hmm. And, it doesn't have to be really complicated, for it to be really powerful.
Yeah. As long as it's true. Right. That's the thing is like, as long as you're allowing the essence of your, and I mean, let's talk about what, like what that process is like a little bit to, you know, work in this sacred creation. Right. So, you know, in, when we're creating objects or, you know, I give the example of my drum, which I use in my practice and my, personally, and with people, my medicine pouch, my medicine bag. I've got also, where did I put it? Oh, so here, one of my projects more recently, if you can't see it, it's just, you know, this little bottle. I don't have the labels yet. That's the one thing that I'm waiting on until I can actually start shipping these out. I've been making star elixirs and hawthorn tincture because hawthorn is a very strong medicine for me. And I have this really powerful allyship with hawthorn. And the star elixirs are working with the Bohemian stars, which are the 15 stars used by the original alchemist, the 15 fixed stars for magic and spell casting. And so this bottle is a bottle of algal star elixir. And if you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. It is connected with personal power, purpose, primal creation and transformation, and going through initiations of claiming personal power. And it's made with, you know, with the lunar eclipse that we had recently that was conjunct this particular star and made with diamond, which is the frequency of this star. So, you know, a lot of layers went into the creation of this. Around what is the mythology of this star? What is the history of this star in the collective mythos? What is the stone associated with this star? When is there a planetary activation in conjunction with this star? And there happens to be a lunar eclipse that was exact conjunct algol, which is not very often that that happens. And then, so there was this process around connecting with and this star also has the mythological connection with Medusa. So there's this connection with like, okay, the legend around Medusa and around primal feminine and around wisdom of the feminine and how that translates into our everyday life of wisdom and purpose and activation and deepening. So all of these prayers went into this star elixir, as well as timing, as well as, you know, being outside and, you know, in the cold night, even though I couldn't see this star, but knowing that it was, you know, knowing that this was being activated and knowing that this, that I was praying on this star and knowing that, you know, that all of these energies were coming into focus into this elixir for the purpose that I had set out with my prayers and with invoking the sigil of the star. And now I have, you know, these beautiful little bottles of star elixir that I'm going to be sharing with people so that when they receive that medicine, they're connecting with the, you know, our pan-cultural mythology in relationship to this ancient star that people have prayed to and meditated on for thousands and thousands of years, connecting with the mineral record of diamond, which was used to activate the star elixir, connecting with my prayers and study and years of devotion and consciousness as I'm grounding in these energies into the physical plane, connecting with initiations of their own purpose and their own primal creation and their own relationship to the feminine, all of these things by taking some drops of star elixir, right? It's really fun and beautiful.
Yeah, it's super fun and super powerful. And, you know, what you're talking about here are the layers of the correspondences. And I know we've talked about this in some episode in the past, but if you look at any magical tradition, They will look at how, when you are working intentionally in these realms, you're attempting to layer correspondences, things that correspond to each other. And everything has correspondences. Everything is resonating with other things that are resonating, similarly. And so when we start to look at things like stars and planets, different kinds of deities, angels, stones and crystals, colors, frequencies, all of plants, trees, animals, all of these things will sort of have their little groupings where they're having relationships, they're in little families together, and they're supporting each other. And when you start to work within that family of energy, then you start to understand that family of energy more. You start to be like bathed in its blessings in a way, and to understand it, and also to understand maybe some of the harder parts of that family of energy, but that through the support of all of these, beings, right? We can call everything a being, the color that's showing up, and the animal, this diamond, this star that are showing up to illuminate what is so, perhaps unknown so far, and to like give us more access to more information and more felt information. And then we can intentionally utilize those relationships that we're forming with these families of corresponding energies to enhance something that we're looking to enhance, or to get support on something that we feel like we're going through a transformation, we're going through change, and we really need a certain kind of frequency right now, and to get that kind of support. So I think it takes some of the sometimes it takes some of the pressure off of us, right? Like, we don't have to have all the answers and know everything. We get to also work within these realms where we go, oh, right, this is what I'm learning right now. This is what I'm working with. And how do I support myself to work with this kind of energy?
And I mean, part of the creation of a sacred object can be around us even going through that initiation process, right? Like, you kind of spoke to this a little bit already, but we're not necessarily creating sacred objects from a place of, oh, I have this down, right? And this is like, some masterful grounding. It can be like, I want to explore this. So I'm working through my own process of prayers and inquiry and investigation in order to translate, like, focusing the energy of even translating that wisdom into a physical object for our own grounding, right? To anchor in our own understanding of the mysteries. So, I think it speaks to the virtue of creating your own sacred objects, right? And of course, people will be able to buy, by the time this comes out, hopefully that should be up on my website if people want to buy some star elixirs. If not, circle back in like a week. And, star elixirs and tinctures. And of course, there is so much value to purchase sacred medicines like that and sacred tools like the ones that you create, Kat. And also, if I can offer people advice in terms of, creating your own totems or objects or paintings or however this wants to express for you, intention is everything and attention is everything. So as you are focusing energy in, don't just be painting, like thinking about, your latest episode of TV that you watched, right? Like, be considering, okay, what is the energy that you're anchoring in as you are painting? What is the, what are you meditating on, and what are your prayers going into as you're creating totem objects? I have a Kat, you're not wearing it right now, but I gave Kat a necklace last year that was very much about anchoring in creative power. And so the entire time I was working on it, and I worked on it during a day. I worked on it during the winter solstice grand conjunction that we had last year. So this was 2020, winter 2020. where Saturn and Jupiter were conjunct and it was like exact with the winter solstice. So there was like one day that I had to make like things for five different people of this power portal. And the entire time it was around prayers for that purpose and meditating on that person and filling it with love and filling it with care. And so if you're taking time to make your own sacred objects, you know, just be aware of the space that you're in while you're doing it, because again, it's that process of translating into the physical plane.
Yeah, that's really important. And, you know, anything, even if it's really simple, like if it's made with your intention, it's going to be felt. Like you can feel when someone's made something with intention. And then also I would say another piece that deserves mention is consecration, that even if you get something, and especially if you get something that's secondhand and you don't know where something came from, it can be really important if you're going to use something, especially as a sacred tool or a healing tool, to clean your object really well. And that can take different forms depending on what it is, whether you're utilizing, smoke and, usually for me, running through smoke, through like fire from a candle, cleaning it with my hands, maybe taking some of that energy and having water on the altar and putting it into that water, really cleaning it. And so that you can reprogram it for yourself, unless you're creating it for someone else. And to consecrate it towards its purpose and give it as much information about its purpose and job in your practice as possible, what it's anchoring in, and to, lift it up and allow it to receive the blessings that you're asking for. And to, when I consecrate pieces for people, I'm using specific incense that is corresponding with the planets that we're working with. And I bathe it in the incense over, as long as that takes, and pray and ask for blessings. and for the, for the object, and especially because I use a lot of, I work with animal parts, right? I have this skull back here, and I do work with skulls, and they're found skulls. And if you can see it, and it's, you might be on Spotify or something, but it has a lot of crystals on it. It's painted, and I just made this deer leg, which Michelle and I found in a year and a half ago. We were on a hike when she came for a visit, and we found this gross little deer leg by the side of the trail. And of course I was like, I'm going to carry that 5 miles out of here. So I brought this deer leg home and put it under a wire frame, with an ant hill. And it was there for a year, getting cleaned by the ants and by nature. And then this winter I spent a month cleaning it really, really well. And that was not always, a delicious work. If you want to see these pieces are all on my Instagram. But
it looks amazing though. It's so beautiful.
It was a lot of work, and it's got a lot of different crystals on it. So working with animals, I think, especially like to be so grateful, and with stones, with herbs, with anything, but it's like to be so grateful to have an opportunity to work with an animal in that way is such an honor. Mm-hmm. And to, not to ever forget that, like how sacred it is to be allowed to touch the bones of an animal is such a sacred blessing. And to to honor and bless that animal family and the spirit of that animal through this creation of art, and to pray for them, and to pray for their guidance and for their medicine to come into your life.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So always like finding things and being like, today I was bringing in wood from the wood pile for my fire, because I have fire stove. And I found there was a little log in the pile of wood that somehow is like hollow inside. And I was so excited to find this like just piece of log in the pile of wood that was really unique and different and interesting. And I was like, oh, I'm taking that in. I'm going to make something with that for sure.
Right. And I'm sure if you're tuning into this, like we've all had that moment of like, oh, that's an amazing stick. Right. And then you like find the stick and you do something cool with it, or it just sits in the garage and you're not totally sure what to do with it, but then you have to, you know, figure something out or give it back to nature. Right. That's the other thing, is like, I have definitely been in that position before where I have these right now. I found these like sort of matching really large birch branches just like sitting there. And they're huge. So, you know, taller than I am. And so I carried them home naturally, as one does. And they've been in the garage because I've been waiting for a third one. I'm like, there needs to be three. And then I'm going to, you know, bind them together and do something with it and like make some tower out of it. And then, you know, I'm at the point now where I just found out that I am definitely going to have to move out of my house. And so I'm like, I don't know if I want to like transport those birch branches to wherever I'm living next. And we'll see what happens. So then in that case, if I don't end up actually anchoring in frequencies with these as sacred objects, then I would, you know, very graciously return them to nature and offer them prayers and gratitude. And I mean, that can still be part of the process too, you know, even if we don't end up finishing that cycle, we're finishing it by returning it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would 100% be taking them to my new house. I would be like, your sacred purpose is going to be illuminated once you get to the new house.
And maybe I'll find the third one when I get there. One of my new neighbors will have a birch tree. But it's like, yeah, it feels like, I don't know, whenever that particular one, whenever I look at them, I see them like, I don't know, in the living room, sort of bound together in like a little tripod with like, you know, fun little objects hanging off of them. And it has like an inner forest grove like inside my house.
You know, I love that
birch grove, right? That's what it feels like. Okay, thank you. Yeah, they need to stay, right? I need a third. Asking for a third matching birch branch to make.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that sometimes you'll have these, you know, little odd. I mean, I know I do. I have so many little odd things that I collect, and you know, sometimes it takes years. And I will have things that I buy just randomly, a button and a, you know, a stone, a you know, a bead, you know, that I find somewhere. And then I will be working on a piece for someone and it will be the perfect thing that I've been holding on to for years because it wasn't ready. It needed to go to this person. It needed this piece. It needed these things to come together to make it. Mm-hmm. So, I guess this is like hoarder's permission or something, maybe.
That's what we're doing. Okay.
I'm justifying my own hoarding behavior.
Justifying your piles of natural materials, right? Yeah. Then you find out later why. Yeah. No, I mean, I think you and I are both sort of like this, right? Like I saw you posted something recently about like, and I just laughed. She had an Instagram post that was like, people post their pictures of their perfectly white, like very, you know, minimalist spiritual homes. And I mean, Kat's house is sort of like, I don't know, Victorian, like shamanic, Gypsy Caravan, Burning Man, like, you know, all of these, in a beautiful way, right? And my house is also definitely like a lot of, you know, animal parts and wings and Asian furniture and And definitely not like the, you know, the very minimalist, industrial, chic, spiritual, white, you know, clean vibe. But it's again, it's like, you know, think about it in terms of what we've been talking about of like, what are the physical anchors to these frequencies, mm-hmm. where, you know, both Kat and I are really rooted in earth magic. We're really rooted in transformation and alchemy and shamanism. And so of course we have lots of materials that represent these frequencies and lots of art of animals. I think, you know, I'm working on painting. Speaking of painting, I just started painting in the beginning of 2021 because painting has always historically and drawing intimidated the crap out of me. And so I was like, well, I need to do that because it intimidates me a lot. And Kat was very supportive and sent me an owl painting course. So my very first painting that I ever did was an owl. And every single painting that I have done up until just recently has been of animals, right? And so, because those are the frequencies that I really love, that I'm working with all the time, that I anchor in, is like the representation of magic through animals. So as I was painting my owl, underneath the painting are all of these prayers and symbols that I painted on the canvas around connecting with wisdom and connecting with dark night of the soul and connecting with illuminating the unseen and, you know, seeing through the layers and connecting with the realms of the dead and all of the magic of owls and symbols and planetary symbols and healing symbols, etc. So that entire painting is full of layers around mystery and magic and underworld and alchemy and transformation and death and rebirth. Over and over and over, I was praying as I was painting. And now that painting is hanging in my healing room because that's the frequency that I'm wanting to anchor in, is courage in the darkness and people to see the light in the darkness and be born on the wings, the soft, soft wings of grace through their healing process. And for me to be a steward of that. So it's, you know, again, like, if you want to know what frequencies you're anchoring in, take a look around you and see, what does your house look like? And what is your stuff like? I guess this is, we're getting into a different episode here.
Yeah. Well, right? We'll get into that later, but it's really, I do that as well. I have a lot of animal paintings. Like my guides, I always paint my animal guides.
Yeah.
And the majority probably of my paintings are animals because of that. And right now I'm working on a series of 5 different birds that will be semi-similar, but different. But then I also started working recently on deities, and I did a green Tara and a Padmasambhava, and I'm about to start working on another one to explore the realms of Tibetan Buddhism and my connection to these energies and frequencies and those kinds of prayers that I'm bringing in. So there's another different kind of representation of my spiritual practice and my Taoist practice and what that's bringing in. And, you know, for someone like me, I need a lot of nature representation in my life. It's very important and vital for my health and well-being. I don't do well in sterile environments. I don't do well with minimalistic design. It actually it's harmful to me. It doesn't feed my soul. I need stacks of antlers and rocks and sticks and things from the natural world in my environment all the time. Mm-hmm. And when I have those things, you know, when I have, you know, wooden spoons and wooden bowls and things that are connected to the natural world, then I feel better emotionally. I feel better spiritually. And these things are really important as you're looking at your spiritual path, as you're looking at what is the transformation that you're going through? What are you awakening to? And what are you calling in? What are you working with? And what is that? What does the representation of that look like? And how are you bringing that into your environment so that it can support you? Because your guides, your teachers, animals, minerals, you know, stones and plants want to support you. They want to help you. They want to be there for you to help you get through your life and help you be healthy. And so we've so disconnected from those things that, and we sometimes we've been shamed for, you know, picking up rocks or like having things in our house that aren't, you know, normal. And, you know, trying to Marie Kondo ourselves into like, something that fits. I'm just like, yes, it brings me joy. Yes. Yes, this rock definitely brings me joy. And this one too. And this one too. Yeah. So it's, yeah. What are you bringing in? What are you working with? What are the energies and the frequencies that you're bringing in and looking at as, you know, we're, you know, moving forward, you know, what are you creating? What are you calling in? What are the energies, the frequencies, the minerals, the plants, the stones, the colors, all of those, you know, correspondences that we're talking about. What is that? And sometimes it's going to be a complete change and transformation from who you think you've been or what you've been like before. And you might have to completely transform something and be like, and go out. I remember at one point I had gotten rid of all of my black clothes at one point in my, you know, awakening. And then I had a serious need to go and buy a bunch of black clothes. To wear those black clothes. And sometimes I feel very, very called to need to wear black because of a time of year of, usually in the fall around the whole, you know, our hallowed time. I'm usually wearing black and I'm wearing black over my head and, you know, wearing a black scarf on my head and these things. And when we look out into the spiritual world of, you know, a lot of times we see yogis and a kind of this Western representation of spirituality that's very light and bright and whitewashed. And that's not what it's all about. Like you will be in the darkness and you will be in these needing to work with the underworld and the parts of transformation that are challenging. And sometimes those look challenging. Sometimes the wrathful deities or a fierce animal is what you need in your environment to support you through these trials of transformation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's another good piece is like, you know, again, take a look around at what physical objects you're surrounding yourself with and know that those are, again, regardless of like, you know, whether you created them intentionally as a sacred tool, those are the frequencies that you're anchoring in. And so then being mindful of as you intentionally craft your shamanic and alchemical tools, as you are bringing in tools made by others, as you are, you know, making objects yourself, working with all of these layers for that purpose and kind of letting go of some of the attachment of what they look like, knowing that, you know, that you know, we are dynamic beings, right? And so of course the tools that we're using will change. So, you know, some sacred tools we'll keep for our entire lives and some either it'll be time to gift them to someone else or, you know, sometimes we lose them. Like, have you ever found where you like have something that you really love and then you lose it for like in terms of a tool, like a pendulum or a, you know, a favorite crystal or something. And then it's a like that is also part of it too, is like that energy and those codes that it was helping you hold, you don't need those anymore. And so then there's, you know, there's a time to either consciously let it go and let it help somebody else and anchor in those frequencies or to just accept that that's part of its service and its gift and your relationship with it as well. Wow. Okay.
That was a lot. Okay.
We gave you a lot to consider. So one last thing, since we are in video and I especially went up and got it for this purpose, Kat didn't have any of her knives to show off. So I went and got the one that I have that she made for me. If you're not on video, I'm sorry.
Go to Instagram.
It's somewhere on there. It's really beautiful. It's this selenite knife with kyanite set into it. And the leather wrapping around the handle. And this one, it's not made for my personal planetary correspondences, but Kat made it for me at my particular request as I was working with a lot of initiation around my dragon work and around anchoring in the frequencies of the sapphire dragon line, the sapphire dragon lineage, and working with the sapphire flame. And so this knife, it feels very, very connected with relatively recent emergent powers that are showing up in my field for my initiations. And this has been present when I'm doing dragon initiations with people. You know, they come for retreat and they're doing sapphire dragon line initiations with me, and I'm using this knife, I'm using it in energy clearings, and it is very, very activated to my personal frequency, but also to these lineages that I have a contract with, that I am here to be a student and a steward of these mysteries. And I'm really grateful to have such an amazing tool that made for me by my dear sister, which is the next best thing to me making it myself. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yay. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Michelle. Yeah. Because just like the antler, I have never made myself a selenite knife, even though I made a lot for other people, which is super silly, because one of the reasons I started making them was because I had wanted one so badly when I had seen one at a ceremony someone had, and I had used it and I was like, oh, this is powerful. I really want one. And then I have never made myself one.
It's time. All right. Let this be your invitation, Kat. So thank you for tuning in. And again, if you like this, you can go ahead and find our other episodes on YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes. Please like, subscribe, share this with someone that you know. If you have a creator friend who needs to hear these messages about creating sacred tools, go ahead and forward this or any other episode along. And you can find my work on joyofenergy.com. You can find me on Instagram. Again, all of the star elixirs and tinctures and stuff hopefully should be up by the time this episode comes out. If not, wait a week and then circle back. And you'll be able to order some very limited edition, because I only have like a handful of bottles of this particular star elixir. But there will be more coming. And please like, follow Kat as well.
KatherineBird.com, and you can order an antler or a knife there. They're very custom to you. So I don't have any of my other art up there, but they're on Instagram.
Yeah,
you can look at it. And if you really want something, we can talk about it. But most of my stuff I make for myself or my friends, because it's so much easier than trying to be a real working artist. So if you're a real working artist, I give you a lot of props, because it definitely takes something to create something and then send it out and promote it and all those things.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thanks everybody for joining us, and circle back if you're interested also in any of the other amazing things that we have to offer, mentorship courses. I've got my alchemy course launching here quite soon. You can always work with us one-on-one. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks, Michelle.
Bye.